Thank you, guys. He's playing my guitar today. If I keep saying it, it'll eventually just be true, right? Yeah. That's what I thought. Glad everybody heard you say yep. Everybody doing okay? Y'all doing okay?
Amen.
Come on. What is this a runway now? Are you modeling for us in a suit? Oh my gosh. So many things I could say.
Yeah, really.
Oh.
And my mother is proud.
Yeah.
She's proud that I'm dressing appropriately.
Hey, your mama's proud of you every day, let me tell you. I'm just messing with you. I'm glad to see you today. I'm excited about this, what we're talking through today. Starting last year sometime, I don't even remember when, I started teaching through Sermon on the Mount. And we got a little over halfway through it, and then Christmas came and all kinds of stuff. And God just kind of led us in different directions and, to preach through and talk through different things. And so we've been doing that over the last several months, and we just can't kind of came back to this to come back to finishing this up eventually last weekend, and so we picked up on this passage of fasting, and fasting is one of those things that, like, a lot of people don't, you know, they see, you know, Scripture talk about fasting and then they're just kind of like, oh, well, you know, that's probably for somebody else, that's probably not for me, because, you know, I don't plan on fasting, why would I fast, you know? But Jesus taught through it, and so we wanted to teach through it, and taught through it last weekend. And the passage that we're studying today, and that passage both, and I think it's important to remember this. I mentioned this last week, but, you know, Jesus is teaching, and, you know, we've done the, you know, adding the numbers in so that we can reference different points in Scripture and that kind of thing. But to him, he's teaching one thing, and the thing that he was getting at, one of the things that he was getting at, one of the major pieces that he's getting at through these passages, talking about fasting, talking about what we're going to be talking about today, was talking about, like, heart issues. And if we're not careful, we'll look at a passage like that passage on fasting, this passage that we're going to talk about today, which deals with treasure and money and some of that kind of stuff. If we're not careful, we'll look at that stuff and we will just take it for surface level. And go, you know, it doesn't really have anything to do with me. It has everything to do with every one of us. In fact, what Jesus is concerned about, he's actually concerned about us, and he's giving a warning. So let me kind of put that into context for you. The guy, okay, the guy who came and gave his life for you, that while you and I were still sinners, that he would die for us, that we might find forgiveness through him, that guy is concerned and gives a warning to us. Like, he's concerned for us. I don't know about you, but, like, you know, if somebody has done something amazing for me, you know, some major thing or whatever, or even if I just know that they care for me, if they show up on my doorstep and they're like, hey, I'm worried about you, I'm concerned about you, I feel like I'm supposed to give you a warning right now. I want to listen to that. I want to hear that. And Jesus knew that these would be things with struggles. The in a nutshell of the fasting piece, if you didn't make it last week, was basically that he's saying, you know, if it takes missing meals, missing eating on these certain days or whatever it is, that you would be reminded of needing to spend time with me, to rekindle a relationship with me, to find anew again with me who I am in your life, talking about God, okay? Then so be it. Fast. Don't eat. And when you get hungry, seek me. When you think about how amazing that food would be, then find me. Pray, seek me through my word. You know, all these things. And so again, it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. It's not that God's, like, sitting there and he's like, you know, I'm gonna na-na-na boo-boo everybody with this whole, like, you know, you should not eat sometimes, and then I'm just gonna laugh at them because they're hungry and they can't eat. You know, that's not what he's up to. He's concerned about us. This is a warning. This comes with a warning. And so, you know, even this morning, I think for us, as we look through this passage, I think we got to remember this is a warning. This is a warning that Jesus saw would something that would be a struggle for us from the very get-go. He knew this would be a struggle. And knowing that this was going to be a struggle, he shared what he shares and what we're studying this morning, this passage of Matthew. In fact, if you got a Bible, go ahead and get it out. Matthew chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, we got ushers and they got stacks of Bibles. So let them bring you one. Just throw your hand up in the air and wave it like you just don't care, and they will give you one. And if you don't own one, we want to give you that one. You can have it. It's a gift, and we would be glad for you to keep it. But Matthew chapter 6 is what we're looking at today. Matthew chapter 6. So just out of pity, maybe take one from these guys. They just feel like they're fulfilling something here, okay? But yeah, thank you guys. Matthew 6. This passage talks about treasure. Treasure. I love treasure. I don't know if you love treasure like I love treasure, but I love treasure. I love treasure of all kinds. My dream treasure is finding the barn find 67 GT500 Shelby. One day, it will probably never happen. Okay, but it's, you know, it's a dream. It's that would be, man, that would be a treasure. Because I love that car. That's a cool car. I could never afford the car, you know, but. You know, whatever. It is what it is, you know. But we love treasure, right? I love, and, you know, my little side business thing, you know, I'm constantly hunting, you know, stuff to fix up and sell. And I'm constantly, like, excited about, you know, the new find that I might get to go in and look at stuff and find something that I know that collectors are going to, man, they're going to die over this when we get this thing back up and going, you know. I love treasure TV shows. Of course, pirates are a given. How can you not love pirates, right? So you got, you know, the booty and all that. And I'm talking about the treasure here, all right? And so, you know, but we got all that kind of stuff. Love that kind of treasure. I love the shows where they're digging the gold out of the ground. Is anyone else infatuated with the shows where they dig the gold out of the ground? Just testify, please. Thank you very much. I don't know what it is. I don't personally, like, have gold that I have put away or anything like that. I don't even know if, other than my wedding ring, which is white gold, I don't even know if I own anything that's gold. But you know, I love watching these shows where they're digging, you know, dirt out of the ground of Alaska, or they're going out in the Bering Sea and they're, you know, sucking this dirt off the bottom of the ocean floor and they're sluicing it through a thing and then out comes gold. I'm just like, that is the craziest thing to me. And then they talk about how, like, it's all come from the icebergs. That's ridiculous. I don't even know. I don't even think I believe that. I'm not even sure. Like, I've never seen gold in ice. Has anybody else ever find any gold in any ice? I don't think so. So, you know, whatever. That's what they've come up with. But, you know, it's amazing to me. And we, in general, we're fascinated with treasure. Now, treasure doesn't always look like, you know, some old car. Doesn't always look like gold. And I think that we got to remember that as we're talking through this morning. As we're talking through this, I think we've got to remember that Jesus is concerned for us. I think we've got to remember this is a warning. And it's a warning because he knew it would be an issue for us. He knew that we would struggle with it. He knew that it would be something that would get us if we would let it. Let's look, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." I want you to remember that. We're going to come back to that. "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." We'll come back to this. I want us to just take a second here. I want us to kind of think about this for a second. Jesus is differentiating some treasure here. And I think it's important for us to pay attention to what he's saying. I think that when I think about treasure, I talk about the stuff that I was just talking about a minute ago. Possession, material type stuff. It's easy to do that. May I treasure my family? Don't you treasure your family? Maybe some of you probably, oh, well, if I treasure my family, they're kind of crazy. You know, but, you know, we treasure different things and in different ways. And what Jesus is talking about is he's talking about us loving something here more than the things that will last forever. Think about that for a minute. Think about how much of our time, how much of our energy, how much of whatever, that we are in this pursuit of things that will not last forever. Everything I mentioned earlier will rust and wash away, or if it doesn't rust, or if a moth doesn't destroy it, then a thief can come in and steal it. It won't last forever. You know, I think for us, I think it's hard for us to realize this, but the truth is that we trade treasures with what God has created us to do a lot of times. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but God has created us for His glory. God has created us for His glory. That means this. That means that He created us that other people would know Him because they know us. That we would make Him known. That's what it means to give God glory, is to make Him known. And so the question is, a good question I think is, what do people know you for? Do they know you for your treasure? And if they know you for your treasure, what is your treasure? Do they know you for who Christ is in your life? Is that the treasure? Or do they know you for other treasure? It's very convicting. I've been very convicted. I've sat in my basement this week and looked at stuff and battled with myself over, you know, treasure. What is my treasure? What do I care about? It's so easy to fall into this whole pursuit. Jesus goes on in verse 22 and he says this. He says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is in you," "in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" Jesus gets heavy with this. He gets real heavy with this. And again, he's concerned. Like, he's not just randomly talking about something. He's concerned for us. He's concerned for our souls. He's concerned for our lives. He's concerned that we're going to basically take this life that he's given us and waste it and miss the whole thing for the kingdom. Are we missing the whole thing for the kingdom? Do our lives glorify God? Are we thinking about treasure that lasts forever? That's a big question. What treasure lasts forever? We'll talk about that. Verse 24, he goes on. And he says this, says, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." He's talking about a master in a way that we can understand, that he's talking about the relationship between a slave and a master. And of course, in that scenario, a master in that scenario would have purchased this slave, this person that was working for them. They weren't working for them because, they were, making an honest wage and loving life probably. But to have this understanding, that a slave would never, dream of trying to, serve some other master, because the moment that they did that, they might be killed. They might be sold into something even much worse than what they were in. Jesus uses this example for us to see just how big a deal it is for us to lose sight of serving Him, of loving Him, of pursuing Him. Look at the lingo that Jesus uses there. And when he says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Think about that. I mean, think about what Jesus is saying there. He's coming strong with that kind of wording. With saying, things like hate and despise. And the truth is, in our life, if we are trading Christ as our treasure for something in this world to be our treasure, then that's leading me to understand that my heart despises God, that my heart might hate God. I don't want to end up there. I don't know about you guys. I don't want to end up there. And that's why Jesus talks about this. And that's why we see him talk about money quite a bit through Scripture. You know, he's worried. He's concerned. He knew this would be an issue for us. I talked several weeks ago about what does it look like for us to be investors in the kingdom of God. Investors in the kingdom of God. Now, I love a good investment. I love flipping stuff. It's part of it's the challenge. Part of it's making the deal. All it's a guy thing. I don't even know why, you know. But I enjoy it. I really enjoy it. And you know, I think for us, I think we have to recognize when God is giving us opportunities to invest in the kingdom, that's even a bigger deal than any kind of investment that we might make here on earth that generates money or, you know, whatever it is. And I think for most of us, I think what happens is we've talked about this last few weeks, we get too busy, we get too important, you know? Are you too important? You ever find yourself feeling like you're too important? We get a little, you know, chip on our shoulder kind of thing of like, you know, well, I've got some responsibility now. You know, I've got bills to pay. I've got kids, or I've got a house, or I've got an apartment, or, you know, I'm about to go out on my own. I'm important. I got a job title now. I'm important. I'm the lead person of this thing. You know, I'm important. And without realizing it, what happens is we start to make that our treasure. We didn't start out meaning to do that, but that's where we end up. And we end up trading treasures, and we trade Jesus for whatever of this world, being known for something or having something, you know? Jesus knew that this would be a big deal for us. He knew that we would struggle with it. He knew that it would make us bad stewards when we fell into it, you know? You know, to be a good steward means to manage what God has given us well. You know, and Jesus, you know, even in the concept of giving, and we're going to talk about giving in the next few weeks. Next week's Mother's Day, we're going to celebrate Mother's Day, and in the week after that, we're going to roll out some of the stuff that's coming up here for 24 Church and some exciting stuff, really cool stuff. We're going to be talking about giving week after that, as part of all this, just in thinking about, you know, how we're going to get to where God is leading us to go, kind of thing. You know, and as we're going through all this stuff, you know, I'm reminded how making treasure out of things here and now keeps us from following God with being good stewards. But even the concept of stewardship, the concept of giving, isn't, again, it's not an issue of like God going, you know, I can't wait to make them, you know, want to give me, you know, some of their money and they're going to despise me and all. That's not what God wants. God does not want us to despise him for giving and bringing back an offering or whatever it may be. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. The whole point and why he says, bring a portion back to me, is that he is trying to keep us from falling into exactly what he's talking about in this passage of Scripture. He is concerned for us. It is a check and balance for us to keep us from loving the stuff that is here too much. It's a heart issue. Treasure. If Jesus talks about making investments in the kingdom, treasuring things that are forever, what's he say there? Verse 20 of Matthew 6. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What is that? What's it look like for us to do that? What's it look like for us to lay up treasures in heaven? How do we do that? Are we supposed to like get together all of our like possessions that are worth something and like send them on a rocket ship to heaven when we die or something, and we got like it's all in the will and everybody knows what to do? No. So what? What is treasure in heaven? For those of you that are Christians, I got a question for you. You can answer it yourself. Think about it for a second. How did you come to know Christ? How did you come to hear about Jesus? How did you come to that point? Just think about that for a second. If you told me that story today of how Jesus saved you, more than likely, a part of that story, there's someone's name. There's somebody that was a part of that process. There was oftentimes, and we see in Scripture, you know, one of the most common things is that there is from the hearing of the gospel, from the hearing of God's word being taught, the Holy Spirit works in our hearts and we have an opportunity to respond to that in believing or disbelieving, whichever it is. If you become a Christian, then at some point you believed. And if I ask you right now, like paint me the picture of that day, you could probably, you know, tell me about, you know, this particular time. You may not know, you know, the actual day and the actual time and some of that kind of stuff. Some of you might. I know some of you like just about like you got it tattooed on you like at this time and, you know, whatever. And that's great. That's awesome if you remember that. I remember where I was. I remember where I was when God spoke to my heart and he said, Chris, you know a whole lot about me and you've been around church a whole lot and that's great and good, but you don't know me. We don't have a real relationship. And just because you know a lot about me and just because you got wet in front of a bunch of people does not mean that you know me. It does not mean that we have a relationship with one another. And I felt the conviction as heavy as I have ever been convicted about anything in my life. And I knew that I had to follow Jesus. I knew that I needed him more than I'd ever realized it in my life. And I prayed and I asked God to be my Savior. And he saved me. And my life has been different from that day forward. I can always point back to that place and of all places in Panama City Beach, Florida, right? The Redneck Riviera. But I'll never forget it. And I was between my eighth grade year and my freshman year of high school when God did that in my life. And I'm so thankful that he did. When we look at what Jesus is talking about with laying up treasure in heaven, when I came to know Christ, I think of the people that poured into my life. They were investors. They were investors. Did you know this? That the people that helped lead you to Jesus, the people that shared Christ with you, the people who prayed for you, and it may be you went somewhere and you heard the gospel being preached or something, and that's great. God used that person. That person was investing in you. Did you know that God also wants you to be an investor? Did you know that God also wants to use you in the lives of the people that he has placed in your life? It's true. Some of you work with people that I will never meet. Some of you go fishing with people that I will never meet. You play ball with people that I would never meet. You have family members that nobody in this room will ever talk to except you. And there's a reason for that. And you go, Chris, they're crazy. I know, okay? But there's still no accidents. God has a purpose. He has a plan. We are to be a part of his mission. And the problem is that we make our own. Why would we make our own, might you ask? Why would we, knowing that God has this plan that must be amazing and perfect and must want to do amazing things with us and our lives. Why would we veer away from that for our own mission? Why in the world would we ever do that? Why would we do that? Do you know? Because we come to places where we no longer let Jesus be our treasure. And we let something else be our treasure. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Is it money? I mean, it might be money. It may not be money. I don't know. I can't answer that question for you. Only you can answer that question for you. But the truth is that we live in a day and age where we are, most all of us are very guilty of this pursuit of more, and why would we need more when we've got more than we can stick in the closets that we have right now, and there's so many people going without? Us laying treasure in heaven. That's hard for us to do. But let me give you a couple of examples of how that can be done. We pour in others. We make disciples. You're like, Chris, I don't know how to make a disciple. Uh-uh. Don't start that. If you know Jesus, then you know how to make a disciple. Chris, I don't know. What? Yeah. If somebody else led you to Jesus at some point and you're trying to follow him, then making a disciple of someone else is literally just inviting them to come join you in the pursuit of God. You don't have to have it all figured out. In fact, the best disciple makers are people that are just humbly trying to follow God, seeking God, and inviting somebody else in their life to join them in the process of doing so. That's making a disciple. It's that simple. We've made it like you gotta have, you know, passed the Henry Blackaby course of life or something before you do. That is not true. Have you seen Jesus' disciples? I mean, these guys, people make movies about guys like this now if they were together in a group. And it would probably star like, you know, comedians nowadays. You know, it's crazy. God chooses whoever he wants to do whatever he wants to. Another way that we lay treasure in heaven is through just simple, basic obedience. Let me give you kind of a case of point here. If we, and I was reminded of this after sharing this this week with a group, if we would do what Scripture says, which is to not veer from it to the left or the right, but if we were to stick to it, that in of itself is actually being obedient and trying to follow the Lord and trying to seek him. But the outcome of that means that we would have clear instruction on our lives of how to make decisions a lot of times. Most of the counseling that I do, let's just go there. Most of the counseling that I do a lot of times is people trying to figure out exactly what they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to do it. Making a decision about something in life. And I love getting to talk with people about that. I really do. I love getting to talk with people about that and pray with them about that. And I've needed that kind of counsel in my life many, many times. But one of the things that I recognize over and over as I see that happen is that, you know, we would have a more clear pattern if we would be in God's Word. We would be more clearly understanding in the heat of the moment, in the moment of making that decision really quick, like maybe I should do this and not do that. Maybe I'm treasuring this a little too much and maybe I need to treasure Christ a little more. Here's the problem with the treasure. I don't know if you realize this or not. I mentioned this, I think, last week before. The problem with the treasure is that the treasure in of itself usually isn't a bad thing. But we've made it a bad thing by making it our treasure. It being our treasure is what's bad. It being our treasure is separating us from God because we're sinning against God. And we're saying, God, you're not my treasure right now. I found this other thing, and it's awesome and shiny and new and whatever, and it makes me happy for this moment, and so it's my treasure. And that, in a sense, is how we fall into sin over and over and over again. The holiness of our character, talking about laying up treasure in heaven, the holiness of our character is one of those pieces that I think that we miss out on it. And you're like, okay, I'm not even sure what to do with that, Chris. What are you talking about? Okay, talk about this. Who are you when nobody else is around? Who are you when nobody else is around? What is going on in your head that nobody else knows about? Are you trusting Jesus to be enough, literally? Or do you like saying it and singing it? It's real easy to say it and sing it, you know? It's real easy to say it and sing it. It's hard to really believe it. Here's one. I'll give you this one. What about a sin in your life? Do you have a sin in your life that you have finally just decided, you know what? This sin is always gonna, it's always gonna own me. I'm always gonna give into it. I'm just giving into it. Satan wins. He scores. It's good. It's not good, it's bad. You're believing a lie. Satan has sold you on a lie. If you believe that you can never overcome any sin that is in your life, let me tell you why. Because Jesus died on the cross and 3 days later he rose from a grave. He has paid the penalty for sin. He has the power to overcome sin in your life. I don't care what kind it is. Now, yeah, when we've struggled with one sin forever and a day, man, it just seems like, man, I'm just always going to, you know what? It might always be a temptation for you, but it doesn't mean that you spend the rest of your life giving into it. Quit buying Satan's lies. Jesus died on the cross for freedom in him. His blood was shed that you could be rid of it. That's an amazing thing. And so, who our character is, who we really are at our core, in our minds and in our hearts and the things that we really love, that's why Jesus is talking about all this. He's not like, hey, the stuff of the world is bad. He's not saying, you know, all those things, you shouldn't enjoy any of that stuff. He's saying, don't let it be your treasure. Because if it becomes your treasure instead of me, you will lose sight of the gospel. And it happens. It happens to us all the time. It happens in little ways. It happens in big ways. We fall into it. Why? Because we were made to worship. And we can't help but worship something. And without realizing it, sometimes we're not worshiping who we should be. We find something else. And we make it our treasure. I want to share a couple of quick passages with you. John 3:3 says this. John 3:3 says, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, if you're going to lay treasure up in heaven, you first have to know the Lord. You first have to have done what Jesus describes as being born again. This is a great conversation, if you've never read this passage of Scripture, by the way, of you know, one of the guys being like, dude, what are you talking about? Are you talking about like I'm supposed to go back in my mama's womb now and come back out and we're going to do all that again? I'm a grown man now. What's up? You know, and Jesus is like, no. This is a spiritual birth. This is, I'm going to make you new. But unless we've been born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God. And what's he talking about with kingdom of God? Is he talking about eternal? Is he talking about now? Yes, both. He's talking about the kingdom of God that we will get to experience one day with him in heaven. He's talking about the kingdom of God as the kingdom is working and we're in a spiritual war right now. He's talking about it all. I'm talking about that so I can talk about this. This is Philippians 3:3. And Philippians 3:3 says this. It says, "For we are the circumcision," here's what I want to get at, "who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." Who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. That kind of definitely knocks down the pride thing, the whole confidence in the flesh piece. But there's another piece there that I think is very important for us, that I think that we, and if you're from a Baptist background especially, you know, a lot of times we haven't talked about this a whole lot. But when it says, who worship by the Spirit of God, I think there's something that's really important for us to understand, and that's how the Trinity works. I don't know if you know about the Trinity, but that's Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, okay? This is God in three parts. One God, okay, before I get you too confused here. If you've never heard this doctrine, I'd be glad to chat with you about it sometime. It's crazy, and I don't think I will ever completely understand it. But God sends his Son, who is Jesus, who is also God. But as we see through Scripture, all the way through Scripture, one of the things that we see is we see that when Jesus comes, he's always pointing to the Father. You remember that? Like if you ever hear Jesus talking about God the Father, Jesus spends his whole ministry talking about God the Father and making a whole big deal glorifying God the Father. Well, if you look at Scripture as a whole, talking about from Genesis to Revelation, the story of God, you see God the Father constantly making a big deal out of Jesus and glorifying Jesus. And you go, well, what about the Holy Spirit? What's going on with that? Well, he's a part of this too. Jesus says when he leaves to go back to be with the Father, after he's come back from the dead, Jesus says, look, I will send to you the one who will be with you, who will speak to you, who will lead you in all the things that I have commanded. And that's the Holy Spirit. Here's a pretty crazy thing that I don't know if we really think a whole lot about sometimes, but the Holy Spirit leads us in everything we do, at least should lead us in everything that we do. And without the Holy Spirit, I'm honestly not sure, I'm not saying this for sure because I really don't know, it's a good question to maybe ask God one day. I'm not sure that without the Holy Spirit, that even with the words of Scripture, that we would truly understand who God the Father and God the Son really even are. You see, God sent the Holy Spirit so that we would understand, so that there would be conviction in our heart, that we would have this understanding of how glorious God is. You think about that. Think about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job is to help us to see how unbelievable and how great God really is. To see him for who he really is. To see him as the creator of the universe. To see him as our Savior. To see him as the one that hurts with us and loves us and cares for us and would send his Son for us, who would die for us. We could know facts all day long, but the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. And he does so in different ways. And one of those ways is through God's Word, obviously. For us to lay treasure in heaven, we've got to seek the Lord. We've got to check what our treasure is. Do we treasure Christ? And if we treasure Christ, then we're letting the Holy Spirit lead us. Had this awesome conversation a couple weekends ago, right in here, with one of the men in our church. He walks up to me after the service is over with, and he says, okay, I need you to help me with something. I said, what we got? He said, all right, I've been to church almost my whole life. I was baptized at one point. I feel like I've prayed a lot of prayers. He said, but I'm just going to be straight up honest. He said, now for some time, months and months have gone on. He said, I came from a background where I didn't hear about things like having a relationship with Jesus and stuff like that. He said, I feel convicted that I don't really know Jesus as my Savior. What do I do with that? To which I start laughing a little bit. in a good way. I said, man, I said, you just told me something that's really important and all that. He said, what's that? I said, you're telling me that you feel convicted that you're supposed to follow Jesus maybe in a way that you've never done that in your life, maybe to make sure that he is your Savior. And he said, yes. I said, I mean, this is ongoing, right? He said, yeah. I said, man, I said, here's all I know. I can't save you. And I can't make you be saved. And you can't make you be saved. But if God is speaking to your heart, the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, I can tell you this much. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. It'd be real easy for somebody in that situation to say, you know what, I've already done all the stuff. I've gone to church forever. I don't need to do something else like that again. Don't we do that a lot with God where we just say, well, God, you know, really, I'm just too busy right now. I don't have time for that. And I don't really, you know, and I've already done this and I've already done that. And I've done some good things this week. And I don't really, I've got, you know, we got other stuff to do and so on and so forth. What happened to us treasuring Christ that we would follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit? That when God would present opportunity to lay treasure in heaven over earning treasure for here and now for us to put in our gun safes, what happened to that? I've been keeping this passage of scripture in front of me that I'm about to read you, just one verse. On purpose, because I felt led that this would be something that would drive 24 Church in the next few years to come. Maybe forever. And I'm okay with that. Because I feel led that it is a passage that needs to drive any church, but definitely 24 Church. And it's this passage right here out of Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6:14, it says this. It says, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants this church, he wants his church worldwide. He wants his church to be about his glory. That's it. That's the main thing. That we would make him known. A little over 10 years ago now, we started a church. We met in a school. I look back at pictures and video, that stuff is just crazy to me now. But one of the biggest reasons that we started a church back then, number one, was to glorify God. But if there was a number two, I'll tell you what it is. It was that we believed that there was a need for a church that was a little different, that might reach some people who had never heard about Jesus. Did you know that there are people that live next to us in our neighborhoods who have never heard about Jesus? We take for granted that we believe that because we live in the Bible Belt that everybody's heard about Jesus and everybody's had their shot. And the truth is that there are tons and tons of people that we work with, that we live nearby, that have no true understanding of the gospel whatsoever. Maybe they've heard the name Jesus, but they have no understanding of the gospel whatsoever. So we started a church saying, you know what? Maybe God wants to use a different kind of church to reach people that are not already in churches, that we could lead some of those people to him. God has called us as a church to be investors for his kingdom. The stuff that we're going to talk about in the weeks to come with buildings and all that kind of stuff, I just want you to know, I don't care what any of that stuff is worth. I don't think we should care what any of that stuff is worth. I know we've got to figure out the stuff to make it all happen and all that and be faithful and whatever, but at the end of the day, the only reason that we're ever going to consider building anything is because it is a legitimate need for us to fulfill the call that God has placed on us as a church to do what I just talked about. We collectively gathered and scattered are called to be investors in the lives of these people that God has placed around us. I'm encouraging you today, be an investor. Be an investor where treasure lasts forever. Be an investor where treasure lasts forever. Whatever that looks like. Whatever that looks like. I'm talking about relationships with family, our friends. God wants to use you so that those people around you will see Jesus. God wants to use us, this church, this body of believers, that the people in this area, this community, and in this world would see a light that sometimes doesn't make sense to them, that makes them go, what in the world is going on with that bunch of people? Are they crazy? He wants to do that so that we can show them who Christ is. I pray that we as a church would be faithful in doing that. I pray that we would only ever boast in the cross and not in ourselves. I pray that when we get to the other end of this little project that we've got coming up, that when we get to the end of it and it's all done and we've managed to get through it or whatever, that instead of us going, man, look at what we did, we go, look at what God did. If he's leading, may we be faithful. We'll be sharing some stuff in a couple weeks after Mother's Day. I hope that you'll be able to be with us. It'll be an exciting several weeks. Next several weeks are going to be very exciting here. I hope that you can be a part of it. Hope that you will be praying for our church through it. I'm asking if you would pray. Pray for 24. Pray for this body of believers, that we would be faithful in whatever God leads us to do. Pray that we would do it with boldness, and pray that we would be about laying treasure in heaven. God wants to use us to do something great. And in the end, we get to boast in the cross when he's done it. He's glorified in that. If you're here today and you've been listening and you're kind of going, you know, I'm not even sure if I'm a Christian or not. Or I know I'm not a Christian. But you're going, you know what? I don't want to miss out. I feel like God's speaking to my heart too. Let me tell you something. If God's speaking to your heart, you need to listen. Because if you keep telling him no, eventually he'll be like, okay, you seem to have it all figured out. If the Lord is speaking your heart about something, listen to him. Be faithful. Follow him. Whatever it is, especially if it's coming to know him as your Savior. And if you want to talk to somebody about that today, we'll hang out afterwards as long as we need to do that. We'd love to talk with you about that. I'm praying that you would find the true buried treasure. Let's pray together.